In any case, in 432 BC, the Athenians had committed major forces. I mentioned that perhaps as many as 4,600 Athenian hoplites and 100 triremes were initially engaged in the siege of Potidaea, which was one of the principal reasons for the outbreak of the war. And that siege dragged on into early 429 BC, and the Potidaeans surrendered on terms. That is, they were allowed to march out with their arms and some of their possessions, and they were eventually received by the people of Olynthus and settled inland in the Chalcidice outside of Athenian control. The Athenians sent in colonists, and Potidaea henceforth became an Athenian colony. And it was vital because it controlled the isthmus to the peninsula of Pallene and defended it from Macedonian attack. The siege had cost the Athenians dearly. One estimate is nearly 3,000 talents, that is a third of the reserve that had been stockpiled in 432 BC, went into paying the wages of the soldiers and the ships serving there. Socrates, at his trial in 399 BC, could point to service at Potidaea, and this was regarded as one of the more difficult services during the Peloponnesian War. The forces had been rotated out in 430 BC, and the Athenians who came in to replace those forces under a man named Hagnon, they were 4,000 hoplites who had served in the Peloponnesus, attacking the Peloponnesus. They carried the plague, so forces serving in Potidaea were subject to the ravages of the plague. We're told within 2 months, 1,050 men out of that 4,000 had died due to the plague. It was a very difficult and costly siege. And it drove home to the Athenians that they could not afford revolts on this order. King Perdiccas of Macedon had offered what assistance he could to the rebels. And the Athenians found themselves not only in a position of besieging Potidaea, but attempting to unseat King Perdiccas and put on the throne a king more friendly to Athens. They had his cousin by the name of Philip. They backed him several times, sometimes with Athenian forces based at the Macedonian coastal cities of Thermae and Methone, which were two ports on the Thermaic Gulf, very, very close, especially Methone, to the timber, the forests. They also called in King Sitalkes of Thrace at one point in 429 BC to attack Macedon and devastate the countryside and try to bring Perdiccas around to an Athenian alliance. The Thracians were happy to oblige, but those attacks only lasted at most about a month. The Thracians lacked the kind of logistics necessary to sustain any serious operation. And the Thracian king himself ruled a collection of warlike princes, more interested in collecting booty rather than advancing Athenian political and military interests. So Macedon was difficult to coerce, and certainly the Athenians had no luck in unseating Perdiccas throughout the entire of the Archidamian War. And Perdiccas really proved to be a good son of Macedon and had the characteristic ability of all Argead kings, which is he could cheat and lie with the best of the Greeks. And in that sense, there's no doubt that the Macedonian kings at least could claim kinship with the Greek diplomats. They were very, very adroit in advancing their own interests. The other set of rebels besides Potidaea was the city of Olynthus. Thucydides doesn't tell us much about Olynthus in 432 BC. That city, too, had rebelled in 432 at the same time as Potidaea, and the city represented a synoikism, a synoikismos in Greek. That is a coming together of a number of towns and villages in the Chalcidice to form a common polis, a common city-state with walls, an acropolis, and a market with public space. This was an important move because a number of Greeks living in the smaller communities along the shores moved inland. And Olynthus was to the northeast of Potidaea, and it was just far enough away that Athenian forces operating from their fleets could not penetrate to Olynthus very easily. And in 429 BC, the Athenians actually sent a force against Olynthus from the fleet, and that force ran into difficulties of logistics. It didn't have local guides. They got ambushed and severely handled, and it pointed out the importance of having cavalry and light infantry in this part of the Greek world. That is, conditions that were similar to what was going on in northwest Greece. And the Athenian commanders in this part of the Greek world didn't quite learn as quickly as Demosthenes did in northwest Greece the need to develop these other forces, that is, light arms, cavalry, archers, to supplement the traditional heavy infantry. And Olynthus stood in defiance of Athens throughout the Archidamian War. After 429 BC, the Athenians controlled Potidaea. They controlled the cities of the coast. And Olynthus and several other towns inland were contained, but they had not been defeated. And that meant the Athenians faced the really unfavorable situation of bringing these towns back into the alliance, and they just didn't quite have the military and political clout to do so.